So yesterday we talked about the wise women of the Jewish people. I think that doesn't fit very well with the narrative that the Torah is supposed to be chauvinistic. It talks about how wonderful the women were. And today's class will speak unfavorably about Jewish leadership. Who does that? Whose canon castigates their own leadership? So in addition to the woman being involved in a very profound way, in a very remarkable way, the Torah goes on to say, towards the end of what is the first reading for this week, in chapter 35, verse 27, V'hanasiim, and the princes or the presidents, Heviu es avne hashoyim, they brought the onyx stones. These were the two black precious stones that were on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, kind of epaulets of sorts, but really towards the back of the straps that came up from the backwards apron known as the ephod. So they brought those onyx stones, the avne hamiluyim, and the stones that would fill the piece of cloth that served as the breastplate, which we called the choshen. This was for the ephod and for the choshen. So today's study is going to be really of one verse. We'll go through the next verse as well, but it's primarily verse 27, and it's primarily the study of a missing letter. Missing letter, because the missing letter tips us off here. And the missing letter is v'hanasim, the leadership, the princes. So the presidents or princes is spelled wrong, or spelled deficiently. And that's going to be the source of hay today. So why is that? What is the Torah trying to tell us? What did they do, these princes? Did nice things. They brought precious stones. That's expensive. That's a big deal for the Kohen Gadol's clothing. And they bought these fine aromatic fragrances. Verse 28, Ves ha-boysim, the balsam, Ves ha-shomen, and the oil, la-moyer, which would be used to kindle the menorah, or la-shemen ha-mishcha, that would be used for the anointing oil, v'liktedes ha-samim, and for the incense. Once again, a very, very fine and very, very sophisticated, high-level, high-grade kind of material which ordinary people would not have had. And the Nesiim brought this. So we're tipped off to the fact that V'hanesiim isn't spelled fully. This is a problem. V'hanesiim should be spelled with a yud. So Rashi says, V'hanesiim eviu. Why is it that we have this word spelled without a yud? Omar Rabbi Nosson says, let me ask you a better question. How come these princes, the leadership, why was there no mention of them before? Why does the leadership only show up at the end? Only at the tail end. This is like the very end. Everything has been brought, everything is evolved, everything is now in place, and all of a sudden, oh, one second, V'hanasiim, don't forget about the presidents, the leaders of the tribes, they also brought something. So why do they show up at the end? So Rashi says, the reason that they show up at the end, what might you think? When you see leadership show up at the end, what might you think? You might think that that's the way leadership behaves. Leadership brings up the rear, brings up the caboose. Like the captain is the last one to leave a ship, right? But that doesn't really work, because when it came to Chanukah HaMishkan, or Chanukah HaMizbeach, when it came to the inauguration of the Mishkan of the Mizbeach, who showed up first? Betchila, the leader, showed up first. So we cannot say that the paradigm of Jewish leadership is to leave in the rear or to pick up the stragglers, because later on they didn't do that. And that creates a problem. So there's different methodologies of leadership, different approaches to leadership, say, okay, fine, the Nesiim here showed up at the end. But, you know, that's what the Nesiim did. That was their job. They were there to catch all the balls that dropped. They were there to kind of worry about the stragglers, the people who were not able to keep up with everybody else. But if that was the case, then why is it that when it comes to Chanukah HaMizbeach, they show up right in the beginning? And here, u'bimeleches ha-mishkan, but in the making of the Mishkan, lo yisnadvu b'tchila, they were not there in the beginning. They're right at the end. I mean, this is once we finish talking about the Nesiim, we round up and say at the end of the day, kol ish v'isha, shenadav libam, everybody who brought everything, l'chol ha-mlocha, shetziv Hashem, all the things that God had commanded, bi'ad Moshe, hevi'u b'nei Yisrael, l'dov al Hashem, and that's it. like with verse 29, this is literally the last two verses before the end. This is the conclusion. And then after this, and from verse 30 and on, Moshe Rabbeinu is appointing the individuals who will be responsible for overseeing this entire project. That's the next thing that happens. So Rashi helps us understand the seeming confusion of these leadership. What exactly was the methodology? Why is it that when it comes to creating the material or amassing the material, they showed up only at the very end, and yet when it came to consecrating or inaugurating the Mishkan, they were front, right, and center. Here we are. We're ready to lead. So how does this work? So Rashi says the following. This is what was going on. This is what they were thinking. Elekach amru nesiim. This is what the nesiim said. Yisnadvu tzibur mashem isnadvu. Let the community, let the congregation, let the ordinary person bring what they bring. U'mashem achasim. Surely there'll be an enormous shortfall. What's left behind, anu mashlimin. We'll back him up. We'll be the matching donors. We'll back it up. If there's something missing, we'll take care of it. That was their approach. What happened? What happened? V'kimu she'eshlimu tzibur sakol. Since they finished everything, shenemar, as it says, v'hamalocha ha'isadayim, the work was sufficient. Amru nesiim, the nesiim said to themselves, uh-oh, ma aleinu lasais. What are we supposed to do now? Aren't we going to have something to say about this? Aren't we going to have some way to participate? The nesiim had a real problem. So what did they do? So Rashi says, heviyu esavnei hashoyim. So they brought the onyx stones, the goymer. So at least they could participate in the sacred raiments of the Kohen Gadol. Lakach, because the nesiim got burned, if you will, the first time around, hisnadvu b'chanukas ha-mizbeach tchila. That's why when it came to the next phase, where we had to consecrate the Mishkan, somebody had to be involved in the earliest and first offerings. When did the nesiim get involved? Right away. They don't want to lose. They don't want to lag. They don't want to be left behind again. Well, Ephesians is atzel, because this ultimately smacks of laziness. So, and you know, just the leadership shows up last. You have to lead by example. They didn't lead by example. Because they didn't lead by example, so that's why nechsera ois mishmam. There's a yud missing. It says v'hanasiyim, but the yud does not show up. The nasi is misspelled because they were missing. Their behavior was deficient. Now, of course, there's a very obvious question that you could ask here. Question number one, what do you mean they didn't bring anything? The Torah says what they brought. And they brought some very impressive donations. The onyx stones, the gemstones of the Kohen Gadol. A person could spend on a gem, a precious stone, a diamond, more than he spends on everything else. People sometimes spend equal on the wedding ring, they spend on the whole wedding. See, that's nothing. Why is that nothing? And what really happened here? Did the Nesiim make a mistake? Isn't that logic somewhat sound? Okay, so they were unfortunate. They got unlucky. The people were better than they thought. Does that make them bad? Like, what's behind all of this? So let's put that on the back burner for a second. Before we talk about what's behind all this, I want to share with you some of what the other Mefarshim say, and then we're going to return to understanding this Rashi as the Rebbe explains it. So the Rashbam says that the reason that the Nesiim would have brought these precious stones is because each precious gemstone had what engraved into it? The names of the tribes, and they represented the tribe. So this was like their thing. It was only natural they should bring those stones. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the reason that the Kohen Gadol would wear the gemstone on his heart was to atone for any kind of haughtiness. And people think of haughtiness as in the heart. Heart is the repository of haughtiness, also of love, but also of haughtiness. People say gvalivav, haughty of heart. And so the Nesiim are the ones who maybe were guilty of some haughtiness here. Let the peons do what they can do. When the serfs are finished, call us, collect. We'll be right there. So that was haughty. So they're trying to make up for that. That's why they brought these special stones. That's what they brought when nobody else had. And the Ibn Ezra says, why did they bring it? He says, well, when they left Egypt, they were kind of compensated, right? The Egyptians gave. So what did they give? Well, they gave people according to their stations. The Nesiim were very prominent people. They gave them stones. They give them the jewels. They give them the onyx and the diamonds and the sapphires and so on and so forth. And the regular people, regular stuff. So it made sense that the Nesi'im, who are considered to be the nobility or the clerisy of the Jewish people, the upper cut, the upper crust of society, they would have gotten the finer things. That's why the princes got that, and that's what they were able to bring. So this is some of the background as to why they actually brought those stones, but ultimately, any way you slice it or dice it, the Nesi'im did make a real contribution. And yet, Rashi seems to say that they were faulty. They came empty-handed, which is factually incorrect. We said they brought all these stones, and they brought this fine oil, and they brought the fragrances and aromatic spices, number one. And number two, what really did happen here? Was it okay? Not okay? What's the bigger picture? So to finish, or have this subject well-rounded and understood properly, I'm going to direct you to the Biurim book. And we're going to learn not one, but two sikhs today, in which the Rebbe explains the situation with the Nesi'im in the fullest sense. I want you to go to page 'Shin Ayin Dalet. So we begin here with a very basic question. And the basic question is, what does it mean, Hishlimu Tzibur Es HaKoel? What does it mean that the people had brought everything? Harei B'Poel L'Tzibur Lo Yehevi Es Kol HaDarash. They did in fact not bring everything. Were there onyx stones? No. Were there gemstones? No. How do we know? Because the Nesi'im brought those things. So if the Nesi'im brought those things, they didn't bring everything. That's number one. And question number two is, why were the Nesi'im so upset? They said, oh, look at us. What a shame. What an embarrassment for us. We're coming at the end. They didn't do very bad. They brought Avnei Shoyim, Avnei Meluyim. They brought onyx stones. They brought gems. They brought diamonds. It's very nice, very respectable. Like what do they feel bad about? So the Rebbe explains it like this. Amnam, it's true indeed, Hatzibur lehevias Avnei Shoyim. The nation, if you will, did not bring onyx stones. True, they didn't have them. You know, like Ibn Ezra explains, why the Nesi'im would have had them. And they didn't bring Avnei Meluyim, the gemstones that filled the Choshen breastplate. Shekain, why didn't they bring him? Not because they weren't generous. They didn't bring him because Elu lehayu b'reshusam, because they didn't have him. You can't bring what you don't have. Ach, heviyu b'mekayim zeis nedavis nesofesh al kesef esav. But they did bring cash, lots of gold and silver. And because they brought lots of gold and silver, so when you don't have the materials that are required, but you have the cash, what's the problem? Take the money and buy it. They tell the story of a king who had to go to war. So he called the whole nation together, and he said, my beloved people, we have to defend the honor of our nation and our dignity and our sovereignty. I need three things from you. And the people said, long live the king, anything you ask for. The king said, I need money, money, and money. You need cash, that's all you need. You need weapons? Give us money. You need ammunition? Give us money. So the Jewish people didn't have onyx. Still large, the right kind of onyx stones. Perfectly the right shaped onyx stones, ready to be engraved with the names of all the Shvatim. And perfectly shaped gems, and a whole slew of gems that should be able to fill the Av the Choshen. Okay, fine, they didn't have it. So what did they have? Cash. They brought the cash. What's the problem? And with the cash, nitan yi lirchesh tmurasam es kol hachaser. So you have the money, you can buy it. Like, there's no issue over here. They had a capital campaign. The capital campaign had a number attached to it. Whatever the number was, $5 million, $10 million, $20 million, whatever it was, they reached the goal in one day. It is the single most successful capital campaign ever in world history. Nobody ever made a capital campaign where the rabbi came out, announced the appeal in the morning, and they closed it in the evening. Closed. So, really, the Nesi'im weren't needed. And that's why Rashi says, Kivan she'eshlim utzibur sakol. The community finished everything. The congregation finished everything. Finished everything means not that they brought all of the materials, but then again, if they didn't bring all the materials, how could you say they finished everything? Well, they reached the goal. The fundraising goal was fully reached. Hatzibur ochen hishlim is kol hadorosh. They did everything that was asked of them. Moshe Rabbeinu said, here's what we need. And he gave them a detailed accounting. And he knew how much it's going to cost. And they reached it. They could have purchased the stones. And therefore, the Nesiim weren't really needed. So the princes or the presidents felt really bad because nobody needed their contribution. The money was in place. They could easily have bought it from whoever it was, some handler, some dealer. So b'seifei shel davar, ha'yo'eila heim she'viyos avnei ha'shoyim v'amiluim. In the end, they did make a contribution because they saved the coffers of the Mishkan money in the end. They said, you know, you don't have to purchase it. We can actually bring it. We happen to have these onyx stones. We have this collection of precious gemstones. Aval trumasam kvar lehoysa nechutzim. It wasn't as if they were needed. The big thing is you needed, and you know, oh yeah, we could use that. We can use that. A person would come along and say, you have a capital campaign. You know what? I happen to have in my warehouse 40,000 bricks. I happen to have the bricks. Say, okay, we'll take the bricks. But if you couldn't give us the bricks, we had the money to buy the bricks. They really don't need them. Without their contribution, the money was in place. Therefore, the Nesiim felt they felt that their participation was not on equal par with the participation of the rest of the nation of Israel. Why? Because the rest of the nation, everybody, from the simplest individual to the most prominent and wealthy individual, everybody's contribution was actually needed. So if Moshe Rabbeinu made a number, he released a number, he said, we need $20 million. And somebody came along and says, how much have we raised? And he said, 19,999. And he gave a buck. He still needed his buck. So he had to get to $20 million. But then the Nesiim came along and said, what do you need? Moshe said, nothing really. What, you have all the money? Yeah. What can we bring? Well, do you happen to have any onyx stones or gemstones? The Nesiim said, funny you should say it, said the Nesiim. We have a bunch of gemstones. Can we see if maybe these will work? And it turns out they have the stones. But they weren't really needed. It was almost like a favor for them that Moshe Rabbeinu allowed them to give the onyx and the stones, the gemstones, because the money was there, was in place already. Shekulam tarmu dvarim sheyinechutzim l'mlesa mishkan. Everybody else, they gave things which were needed. The Nesiim gave things which were nice, but not necessary. Okay, so now that we understand first just the basics, before it didn't make any sense. On one hand, we say that the Nesiim's contribution was meaningless. On the other hand, we talk about a significant and meaningful contribution, onyx and gemstones, the oils and the fragrances. We say, no. So really, it wasn't needed and necessary. They brought the actual material, which leads us into the next question. Bashkafa Rishayna, at first glance at this Rashi, it seems that Rashi looks at the Nesiim entirely in a negative light. It seems, Rashi seems to be saying, Rashi seems to be saying that suitable, appropriate leadership would have been that they showed up to begin with. That would be the appropriate way to lead. There's a need, there's a capital campaign, the presidents line up first. But they were lazy. Himtino, they waited. And they waited until Shatzibur Hevi Daiva Heiser, until everybody brought and brought and brought to the point that nothing was needed anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu said, keep your donations. We don't need them. To the point that there was nothing else for them to bring. And it's this laziness, this lethargy, this inability, seeming inability to respond to Moshe's call immediately. Instead, only to delay to tomorrow what you could have done today and coming in the evening when everything's already done. So this is something that the Nesiim were punished by. What were they? How were they punished? They didn't get detention or anything, but their name in the Torah was misspelled. Here we are, 3,300 years later, and we're still talking about these people. Why? Because there's a missing yud, and a little drop of ink makes a big difference. You know, when you send an email and you put a dot in the wrong place, it's not getting there. Forget about it. If you put the Wi-Fi code in wrong, one letter, it could be the smallest letter. You're not getting a download. So here we are, looking at the Torah, there's a drop of ink missing, and that little bit of ink has an ocean of a message. And it talks about the leaders who are missing in action. It talks about an inappropriate standard of leadership that had to later be replaced. But, lafi havana zu yesh lishal. In that case, here's the question we may well ask. Number one, madua peseach Rashi b'shaila. Rashi opens with a question. What's the question? The question is about what happened later.
He says, Ma ro nesim lehisnadev b'chanukas ha-mizbeach t'chila. Why was it that when it came to the consecration, the inauguration of the Mishkan, why did they show up first? Is that the question? Is the question why they showed up first at the inauguration, or is the question why they showed up last at the contribution stage? What's the question? The question is why they showed up last here, not why they showed up first somewhere else. Hatmihi al nesim ichru lehishtatef. The question is, why did the Nesim delay? That's the question. Not why they came first elsewhere. Number one. Number two, Eich Yitochen, how can we say that the Pasuk is mentioning the Nesim? And it mentions them. And doesn't mention them. It mentions them, but it misspells their name. It subtracts some Torah ink. And what do we learn from this? That they were deficient. That leadership was lacking. The Rebbe says, one second, we have a rule that we don't speak negatively. In fact, the Torah never speaks negatively. It's an expression which is found in the Gemara that says, Afilu bignus behema tmeya le dibra kosef. Even in disparaging a non-kosher animal, the Torah will use the longer, more circuitous verbiage, but not point a finger and say tmei. Instead, the Torah says, Ha behema asher enena tahora, the animal who is not pure, rather than the animal who is tummy. So why do we have to know about this? Like, why is it important for us to be here thousands of years later criticizing these people who once lived for their deficient behavior? And not that they didn't give, they gave, but they were a few hours late. So the Rebbe said, based on these questions, he wants to suggest a new way to look at the Nesiim, a new approach to this story. The truth is, they were not just lazy in the typical sense. They were not just inactive. This was not just behavior in which the Nesiim dropped the ball or entirely missing in action. The Nesiim, on some level, were behaving like real leaders should behave. How should real leaders behave? In one word, responsibly. Responsibly. So if you go to another country on taxpayers' expense, how should you behave? Responsibly. Responsibly means that you're spending other people's money, you're spending the country's money, you behave responsibly. The question is, what benefit can come to the country, to its citizenry, to its economy, from my behavior? If this is just a personal fun trip, there's a problem to it, right? This is a lesson that we in Canada have become very aware of over the last 2 weeks. So really and truly, leadership is about responsibility. What is then the primary responsibility of a Nasi, especially a Nasi Yisrael? It's not to worry, not only for his material benefit, not only the Nasi, the leader is not the person who sits at the trough and feeds off it like an animal whose name I don't want to mention. What is the Nasi supposed to do? He's supposed to worry about the welfare of the others. You know, there's an expression that says, the shoemaker's son goes barefoot. Why? Because he's busy getting shoes for everybody else. The leadership is the one who doesn't have. The boss takes the salary last, after everybody else gets paid. That's when the boss can get paid. So the real leader is a person who ensures that the tzibur, that the community, the congregation, whatever it is, the group of people, the citizenry, the constituency that this leader represents has to be properly looked after. Ubinyanenu. Hanesim, our leaders here, lo hizdarzu lahavi es nidvasim lemlechas ha-mishkan, they did not marshal themselves and muster quickly to do what was necessary to donate to the Mishkan. Why? Mishum shehem sovru, because they were of the opinion, shalacholereish, that first and foremost, their job would be lahavtiach shahatzibur yishtatef. Their job would be to ensure that those who they were responsible for, their constituency, would participate. And they would participate appropriately. It's not that they were cheap. It's not that they were in some way unable or unwilling to participate. They just said, we need to get everybody else to do this. After the citizenry will do everything it could, then yuchlanasim lahashlam. We're here to back them up. Back them up. Anything missing, we'll back them up. Could have been half would be missing, so we'll back it up. Nothing to worry about. Failure is not an option. Get to work. Do your part. will back you up, they said. Zui efe mashmoz divir hanasiyim. This is what the Nesiyim, the meaning of what the Nesiyim said. Yisnadvu tzibur mashi yisnadvu. Let the people bring what they could bring. They weren't saying, hey, let the people bring, we don't have to bring anything. They were saying, let the people get involved. Let the ordinary Joe the plumber do his or her part. Let everybody do this. And after all the men and women would marshal and muster and rally together and do what they could do, then we've done our part. We've ensured hishtatfusa shel tzibur, the full participation of all of the Jewish men and women, and after all of the population of the Jewish people would get what they could do, mashem achasim, what they're missing, anu mashlimim, we'll make it up. Zui efeshalus Rashi. This is the question of Rashi. This is Rashi begins with a sort of a backwards question. Rashi doesn't begin with a question, why did they show up last here? Rashi begins with the question, why did they show up first elsewhere? Say, hey, if the paradigm of leadership is that you should be concerned with others, and that sounds right, then what kind of chutzpah? When it came to the Chanukah Samizbeach, the Nesiyim pushed their way to the front. Why were they pushing their way to the front? They should have been behind, pushing the people to go to the front. It seems that they dropped the ball when it came to the inauguration of the Mishkan. It seems suddenly they became obsessed with their own self-aggrandizement, with their own publicity, with their own fame and fortune. They said, we're going to go first. Why should you go first? It's not about you. It's about the people. Ah, so that's the question, actually. Why did they go first? Kach Meshev Rashi, therefore Rashi says, it was clear that the kind of leadership that was needed here was not to sit back and watch everybody else bring or even encourage everybody else to bring. Because here in the end, the Nesiyim had nothing else to bring. Because they brought everything already. And they said, Ma'alenu Lasis. And because that was the case, the Nesiyim realized that their leadership had been faulty. Their approach, their attitude, in this specific case, not necessarily everywhere, but in this specific case, they had come to the wrong conclusion. They crafted the wrong strategy. After the Nesiyim became aware l'das, that the people actually made it happen. So then, and they didn't have anything else to do, they came to the conclusion that it looks like their behavior was deficient. They should not have been missing in action. And therefore, in order to make up for that, when it came to inauguration, they said, sign us up. We'll be there on day one. We'll start, not finish. We'll initiate, not bring to fruition and completion. In other words, like this. Shikul daitem shel Nesiyim, the strategy here, what the Nesiyim had, you know, analyzed the situation and came to a conclusion. What was their analysis? They said lecholarish. They thought first and foremost, mitafkidam. Our job is lahaftiach shatzibur yumalas tafkidei. Our first order of business is to ensure that the people do what the people must do. And then our job is to come along at the end. And here's a little secret, guys. Usually, that is an effective approach. That is usually an effective way to run something. Aval benoyis hazeh shel melechas hamishkan. But when it comes to a mishkan, when something which is so important, something which is so critical, something which touched the heart and soul of every member of Am Yisrael, they lost the Shekhinah, they weren't God's people, as it seemed after the Gachsin of the Golden Calf. They needed to overcome these challenges. They were so motivated that they didn't need Nesiyim to motivate them. There was no lack of motivation. And because of that, there was no need for the Nesiyim to say, we'll be there. Let them be motivated first. And that's the words of Rashi, and Efishenis Atzlu Metchila, because they behaved in a way of that smacked of laziness, even though it wasn't actually lazy. There was a rhyme and reason to it. But in fact, it wasn't needed. And it seemed they were just being lazy. That's why Nechzru Ois Mishmam, there's a letter missing from the name. The truth is that they withheld their own participation and contribution, and they had a reason. They had a logic. They had a strategy. However, since ultimately there was a little bit of laziness mixed in, and since laziness can never be a hallmark of leadership, that's why the Nesiyim had to make up for it during the next phase when it came to the inauguration. So now we got a little lesson in leadership. On many levels. Sometimes indeed you have to worry about motivating and ensuring that others participate. However, the rule is when it comes to something like contributing to the building of Yiddishkeit, the leadership has to step up first. And only after you do your part can you expect others to follow. The Rebbe was once asked about something that he requested from everybody. But, like, you know, maybe it's too much, maybe he's asking too much. So the Rebbe said that he demands from himself 10 times as much before he asks anything out of anybody. That's the real leader. worries about everybody else, but demands 10 times, Rebbe said 10 times as much for himself first. And the lessons for us are obvious. And every one of us has to, in some way, be a leader. And if we will lead instead of follow, if we'll take the lead and we'll do what we could to motivate others, but also to demonstrate by example, the Eibishter will help us and our Mishkan will be completed with the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, and Mashiach himself, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, amen.